Okay. Good evening. Good evening, ladies. I'm just going to... Okay. Welcome to part two of our Tshuva series. And what I'd like to do tonight, I'd like to begin by finishing something that we started last week. There's one last component that I'd like to discuss. And just to review for those who are not here and for those who were here, we spent the majority of our discussion last week discussing two approaches to tshuva based on two approaches to releasing oneself from a neder, from a vow. We spent really the overwhelming majority of the time on the charata, on the remorse, the regret component, that approach to tshuva. And what we discussed last week was as follows. We said, just to get us through that process, an important process for us to remember, is that when a person takes a vow, so we go to a Beis Din, three regular people, ordinary people, or one expert. Today we don't assume anyone's an expert in that regard. And we can be released from the vow based on two approaches. One we said was charata, one was remorse, where we feel bad. And we made the following point. I gave the example, it was where a person is very upset, he's been insulted or harmed by someone, and there's a tremendous amount of anger. And now the anger, you calm down a little bit. And it was because of the anger that you took a neder, and now you feel bad that you took a neder. So you come to the Beis Din, and what do you tell the Beis Din? I was really angry. Was there any mistake in judgment? Absolutely not. I knew exactly what I was saying, and I was really angry. That's why I took a neder. The neder was, you, the person who insulted me, you're not coming to my son's bar mitzvah. I have to be specific. We discussed the neder is where you specify. I'm just going to go because there are suits being sold next door for men. All the food at the bar mitzvah is prohibited to you, which essentially means you're not invited. And then I feel bad after a few days. There was no error there. I knew exactly what I was saying, and I know the consequences of what I was saying, but now I feel bad. So that's remorse. That's charata. I come to the Beis Din. They're able to uproot that for no other reason than they have the authority to do so. The Torah says, we assume that based on Psukim, beginning with Parashas Matos, that a Beis Din also has the right, not only a father and a husband, which is called Hafaras Nedarim, nullifying vows. This is what we call Hataras Nedarim. So the vow was uprooted, Mei Karo, from the very beginning, based on the fact that I feel bad. What changed? There's no mistake on my part. But they uproot it because they have the authority to do so. The other possibility, which we're going to spend a few minutes tonight discussing, is what we call the Pesach, where there's an opening, which means there was an error in judgment. At that point, I thought, had I known, we gave the example, I took upon myself, I'm going to be makpid on Chol of Yisrael, and then I realized there's no Chol of Yisrael in my parents' community. Obviously, I wanted to visit my parents, so I didn't think about that. It was an error in my judgment, so I come to the Beis Din and said, had I known that? So they can uproot that. That's not so much due to their authority. It actually is somewhat logical that if I never had that in mind when I took the vow, so I didn't have that intent, so they have the right to release me from that vow. That was the other. We spent a lot of time discussing the concept of remorse, of charata, and how that concept applies to tshuva. We see that in the Rambam, we see that in the Gemara, that one of the components of tshuva is charata, is feeling bad. And we mentioned that when we feel bad about something, we often get to the point, as the Rav explained, a point almost of avelus. The primary example of this was the Chet HaEgel, where the people realized they did something wrong, and they felt really bad about it. And it says, Vayisabalu, they mourned, and they removed their jewelry, whatever that jewelry was. I mentioned Rav Hirsch last week that he claims the jewelry was tefillin, which actually may be the source that an Avel doesn't wear tefillin the first day of Avelus, the first day of Shiva, even though all the other mitzvahs apply at that point. But there's a sense of mourning, a sense of sadness, a sense of despair. We mentioned that mourning generally is where there's a loss of someone. There's a loss of a soul. And in this context, it's the loss of the human soul. It's a loss of my soul when I feel bad about something. No, not to the point of despair, but a point of avelos, where there's something lost, something beloved to me, something that I know is important to me, and I feel that loss. And that, going from charata to avelos, can then lead to the next point in that process, which is where I feel a sense of tumah, of contamination. I feel so bad about what I did that I feel defiled. And that may lead a person to the point of tshuva. That's the tshuva from charata. And I mentioned at the end of the shiur last week that if we get to that state where there's a sense of toeva, if you look at the sheet, we'll just look at it again, the emotional intellectual tshuva on the second side, a quote in source 7 again from the Tefillah Zakar of the Chaye Adam, Masmihim anachnu al nafshenu eich ne'esusa ha-toeva hazos. How could this abomination, I'm talking about myself, I feel defiled, I feel contaminated, there's something about me that's impure, and I feel very bad about it. So that's a very high level. The advantage of that level is that I don't need a Kabbalah al Ha'asid, which we know is another one of the steps of tshuva, is where I take upon myself never to return to this Avera. So think about this, you know, from, I think we mentioned this last week, the best example is always a diet. So intellectually, I may know that this food is unhealthy, and I know maybe I need to lose a few pounds, and maybe I need to exercise, but there are times where we get to a point where I don't feel good about myself at all. I'm disgusted with myself. There are people who get to that point and they say, I can't do it. Tomorrow, South Beach. Tomorrow, Weight Watchers. Whatever you name it, and you start. That sometimes we get to that point. Most of the time, we're not. Especially if I see something, I really want to eat it. Tomorrow, I also want to eat it. Maybe intellectually, I realize that there's something wrong with it. But to get to the point where I feel so bad, so take a look at Source 8 in the Rambam. Source 8 says the Rambam, this is the shir from last week. Kol mitzvah shabbat Torah bein asei bein delo sasei, positive or negative commandments. Im avar adam alachas mehen, person violates them. Bein bezadon bein beshkaga kesheyase tshuva, when he repents. We're going to focus on this a little bit later. V'yoshuv mecheto, when he returns from his sin. Chayav lehisvados, he has to confess. Lefnei ha'el baruchu shne'amar. Quotes a pasuk from Parshas Naso, Ish Oisha ki Yasu v'gomer v'hisvadu eschata samasharasu. Ze vidui dvarim, this is confession. We do this every Yom Kippur. Vidui ze mitzvah sase, it's a positive commandment. Kesad mitzvadim, how do we do so? Omer ana Hashem, chatasi, avisi, parshati, different forms of sins, lifanecha, vasiki, asisi, kach v'kach, and I've done whatever it is, I enumerate. Vaharei nichamti, I regret. Uboshti, I feel shameful. The ma'asai. What's that? What's happening here? I really feel bad. I feel terrible. This is the avelus that I feel. This is the remorse that I feel. This is, I feel almost defiled. Ula olam eini chozer ledavar zeh. And I'm never going back to this. Vizehu ikaro shel vidui. This is the ikar of vidui. The Rav explains something fascinating. And if you read the Rambam, you really can see that this is where he's going. The phrase, ul'olam eini chozer ledavar zeh, is not so much part of the vidui, because it's not. That's not confession. Confession is where I enumerate the sins. What is that? That's part of the tshuva process. So why does he mention? Then he says, "Vizehu ikaro shel vidui." So what is the ikar of vidui? Chatasi, avisi, pashati, kach mekach, varnicham, yiboshti, I feel terrible, maasai. What's the next phrase? So the next phrase Rav Soloveitchik explains is a consequence of feeling remorse. That's just the way we are. When we feel so terrible, I feel so contaminated. I feel so much. I need to begin exercising. So then I'm not going to go back to this. That's for sure not. It's not a statement as this is part of the mitzvah, what you have to say. It's what I'm going to say. That's tshuva through harata. That's one element. But in the next one, yeah.
The difficulty I'm having is that I guess I'll speak for myself is that if we say that, so that is that a neder? And if it's a neder and we know that all the years before that we felt the same way and we went back to doing the same chataim, right, the same averos, then what, you know, like, what do we do?
Okay, so I think that actually, that question can be answered by what we just said. You're right. If ula'olam eni chozer l'davar zeh is a statement, I am never doing this again, then maybe you have to say b'li neder. But if it's a result of, I could never possibly go back and do that, it's not a neder. That's just the way I feel. And that's harata. I don't have to make a demonstrative statement that here I am no longer doing. I can't do this. I'm done. I'm starting again. Which is a very important point in the tshuva process itself. I know that we always look at tshuva as something that's overwhelming. And there are just so many things that I want to work on. And that's true. And we're always told, and Rabbi Adler has said this many, many times, and I agree with him, Choose one thing. Harata is not telling you to choose one thing, and I want to tell you why. And this is possible. I'll tell you what one thing you want to choose. I want Ana Abda Dekutcha Baruch, which is a phrase from Baruch Shemei, which means I am an Eved Hashem. All I'm asking you to do is one thing. Hashem wants us to reorient ourselves. That all I want from you is one thing. We read it in last week's parsha. We read it 2 weeks ago. Parsha said, Ki im liyira, all I want is yiras Hashem. Sounds so easy. But it's really one thing. Because what it tells us is, that is our objective. Wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, that's the one thing that I have in mind. That's the one thing I have in mind. You see people when they're dating in the early days of dating, right? So I have my future spouse in my wherever I go. Can I buy something? I'm not so good with that, but okay. But can I buy something? I'm thinking about what is he or she going to like? What can I get for them? Oh, this would be great for our house. This on everything, wherever I am. I have to make sure to finish. Even if I'm davening, what am I davening for? I'm davening for a future. We should have a family. It's all one thing. If we can through the tshuva process, think about that one thing, we'll be different people. Now that's not I'm not saying it's an easy task, but it's a very different way of looking at avodas Hashem and tshuva than I want to be the same person I am. I want all the comforts that I have. I like to do all the things that I don't really want to change much. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do one thing a little bit better this year. It's wonderful. It's great. It is tshuva. You want to find one thing. But that's not what we're talking about here. It means la'olam, I can possibly go back to this derech. Whatever that may be. Yeah.
In schools, like it was a very big topic of conversation in the younger grades, especially, I don't know about high school, about whether it is possible or should be taught Yirat Hashem, because the emphasis is always on Ahavat Hashem.
Right. So that's a very good question. I read an article recently that says it's difficult to discuss any of those things, depending on the age. And sometimes we teach them, and they don't really absorb it. And then when they're finally ready, they say, "I've heard that already." So, but I would say that yes, we are living at a time where we need a little bit more ahava nayira. We do that with parenting. I think that the relationship that we have with our children generally parallels the relationship we have with Hashem. Hashem wanted it that way. So if the generation is one in which we realize our children need more ahava than yira from us in order to direct them properly, so that is probably the way we're going to relate to Hashem as well. Because that's just the way we are. Yira doesn't seem to work when we have the concept of obedience to an authority figure has been almost lost. So recognizing that Hashem is our father instead of our melech, although the theme of Rosh Hashanah is Malchus, so that's helpful for us. That he's our father, Avinu and Malkeinu, with the emphasis on Avinu. But I agree with you that I think that we're moving in Ahava direction. I do think that we lose out a lot when there's no Yira, no doubt. Anyway. So now, what I want you to do is look at source 9. This is the other component. Source 9. Eizu hi tshuva gemura. How do we fulfill complete repentance? Zeh sheba liyado davar she'avar bo. Something happened, and whatever it was that one violated now comes back. I have the opportunity to do the same avera again. The efsher biyado lasos, I'm able to do it, whatever the avera is. Upirish, and you separated from it. Vilo asa, and you didn't do that avera again. You had the juicy piece of lashon hara, you were about to send it through the text, and you said, "I'm not doing it." Now, why am I not doing it? So you'll see carefully, the Rambam's not going to say, because last night, after I realized I'm just a Baal Lashon Hara, I don't stop. I just, whatever gossip, I have to share. I feel terrible, it's Elul, I'm done with that. That's not why. Look what he says. Vilo asa mipnei hatshuva. Do you know why I'm not doing it? Because I'm doing tshuva. Because I'm repenting. Lo miira, not because I'm afraid. Lo mikishlon koach, not because I'm too weak. Right? My fingers are working just fine. I can type that very quickly. So, Ketzad. Give me an example. Hare sheba al isha ba'avera. A violation? Infidelity. Ula'achar zman nisyach edima. And this man now is in seclusion with the same woman. He felt really, right? He clearly violated this. But now it's Ellen. Now it's time to change. V'hu omeid ba'ahava soba, he has the same love, same lust. U'v'koach gufo, same strength. U'v'medina she'avar ba, same place. U'pireish v'lo avar, and he separates it. He doesn't violate anything. Zehu bal tshuva gemura. Why is this different than Amnon we mentioned last week? What's the difference? Last week we mentioned that we move with charata, remorse, from regret to avelus, a sense of despair, the loss of my soul. Then I feel terrible, I feel defiled. He hates her. What did it say about Amnon? The sin of my top of the page, source 6. Vayisna'eha Amnon sin'a gedola ma'od. Ki gedola ha'sina asher sine'a me'av asher'eva. Get out. He says. He can't even call it by her name. Kumi Lechi. So what happened to Amnon? Because Amnon got to that point where he felt contaminated. I'm not doing this anymore. What happened to this person? So this person, same Ava, same desire, same lust, same everything. But I'm a Baal Tshuva. I have to stop this. This is not the emotional repentance. This is the intellectual repentance. This is not charata, remorse, when I release myself from the vow. This is a Pesach, this is an opening. What does that mean? There was an error in judgment last time I was with this woman. My error was that I thought that this Aveira was worth it. I thought it was worth it. Shem doesn't really care. He knows I have desires. He's not going to punish me. She's not, I find all the heterim, whatever. She's not married, right? Or whatever it may be. Now what happens? So what happens? I don't feel disgusting. Absolutely not. I don't feel disgusting at all. I don't feel defiled. Love her the same. Same desire. What changes? Intellectually, I realize I can't do this anymore. I can't. Not Amnon. I can't do this anymore. That's a different type of repentance. In fact, that's my moral consciousness, which is not always effective. Keep in mind that the charata path is more effective. The charata path is more effective when it comes to dieting. We know that. I have to feel disgusting. I have to hit rock bottom. Intellectually, this is really not healthy. Okay, so I start my diet tomorrow, and then that's Sunday. You always start on Sunday. That's what I'm told. So then, and then by Tuesday night already, I've had it because we had a wedding, and we had this. What am I supposed to eat? It's nothing to eat. I have to eat. It's not healthy. I have to eat it. And then I'm done. Intellectually, right? But if I really feel disgusting, I may go longer. I may go a long time. And the same thing is true with tshuva. So this is a little bit dangerous. A mourner feels. The person who's doing intellectual tshuva comprehends. I comprehend. It's my moral consciousness where remorse is more effective, but we find ourselves very often that we're not able to feel or understand the constructive value of just feeling terrible. Okay? We can't. To refine ourselves in such a fashion, we find very difficult. This is going to be the tshuva for most of us. And I mentioned last week that it may be Aveira-dependent. Aveira-dependent. There are certain things that we may do where we can get to the point of charata, we get to that remorse, we get to the Avelus, we get to the Toeva, like the Chayadam says, when we say Tvila Zaka, we'll feel it. And other times we may say, you know what, I know this is wrong. I learned the Pesukim, the Chumash says so, the Halacha says so, I know it's wrong. I'm taking this upon myself. So these are the two, yeah.
No, I don't want to interrupt you.
No.
I just want to say that it seems like this is even harder. Because when you still have the same desire, it's even harder to say.
Absolutely, that's right. But what you have to realize, it's harder for a person to do and to maintain.
Right.
Right? But I can't make myself feel regretful about something. That's the difference. That's very difficult to get to that point. Yeah.
So just what you just said, I didn't mention this. Number 9, there's more of a chance that go back.
That's right. Right.
Back.
Correct. And that's why, here's the difference. This person needs what we call Kabbalah al Ha'asid. Kabbalah al Ha'asid here is not a result, is not a consequence of the way I feel. Kabbalah al Ha'asid is an absolute requirement. Without Kabbalah al Ha'asid, there's no tshuva here. I can't possibly repent properly, adequately, if I don't have a Kabbalah asset. It means I'm taking, and we do this, I have this, I tell my students this all the time. When I first started, after I took exercise physiology and physical therapy school, I was convinced I have to exercise 5 times a week for about a half hour. We bought a Nordic track, and that's when it started. Since then, 5 times a week, how many years ago was that? 1996? Okay, it's a long time. Cardiovascular work 3 to 5 times a week for a minimum of 30 minutes. I went through 4 or 5 Nordic tracks. Now I'm on a treadmill or running outside. I was sold. And we should be sold. But I'm not here to scare you. We could talk about that another time. So what happened? We don't have time, right? That's the problem. When do you exercise? So I had to exercise in the morning, early. So I set my alarm for whatever it was, 5, 5:30, whatever it was, and that was going to get me up in the morning. However, People have different ways to do that. It's very easy just to snooze your alarm. And you can do that multiple times. We do that all the time. I used to not be a snoozer. Now I usually snooze about 4 or 5 times. So you just set it like 4 o'clock and then, you know, eventually you get up. So at that time, I tell this to my students, I used to drink about 2 full cups of water before I went to sleep. So that by 5 o'clock in the morning, I was getting out of bed no matter what. No matter what. Once I'm up, right, put on my shorts and my t-shirt, then I can go run. So why did I have to do that? Intellectually, I knew I had to exercise. But if that's all it is, if I feel disgusting, that I don't get... So of course I'm getting up, because I feel disgusting, staying in bed. I don't want to stay in bed. I don't feel... I feel better when I get out of bed than I... You know, just lying in bed, I don't feel good. But if I'm feeling fine in bed right now. I love being in bed. I'm tired. I could use more sleep. But so that's Kabbalah. Then I need a Kabbalah. Then I need a strategy. I need a plan. And then hopefully it'll be in place. That's emotional versus intellectual repentance. Maybe Avera dependent. Maybe depending on the person. If we can get to the point of a charata, of a remorse, we really feel bad. We realize we've offended our Creator. So perhaps we'll get to the point where we actually can be mitzcharet properly. And the Kabbalah ala asid will not be something I have to do. It'll be something that will happen in and of itself. Okay?
How do I get?
So I will tell you, it's a good point, and I think that Talmud Torah is. I often wonder why we say every morning that Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Right? How's that possible? You're telling me that I learned that bikur cholim. We talk about chesed and bikur cholim, going to levaya. I mean, on one day, you're telling me that you know some learning is going to outweigh the hachanasas kala, whole list of mitzvahs. So the answer is the Talmud Torah allows me to fulfill all of those mitzvos properly. If I don't learn, if I don't study, I don't know how to do those mitzvos. Bikur Cholim is a great example of that. If I don't learn Hilchos Bikur, there is a section in Shulchan Aruch called Hilchos Bikur Cholim. Unfortunately, it's found right before Hilchos Avelos. Obviously, you see what the Shulchan Aruch had in mind. But there are Hilchos Bikur Cholim. And if we understood that sitting there for 45 minutes in the hospital with someone is not necessarily a mitzvah, that you see they're falling asleep. No, but I'm doing Bikur Cholim. You're going to stay awake. I have a couple of jokes to tell you, and you're going to be awake for this. So that's not a mitzvah anymore. The two most important things when we visit the sick are making sure the area is clean and davening for them. That's it. That can be done in 5 minutes. And probably should be done in 5 minutes. So the more I learn, the more I study, the more I can fulfill the Torah's mitzvahs properly. The more I learn about Averos, the worse I feel. I'm telling you. The more you learn, the more Mishnayot, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, whatever it is, you find me an Avera, I'll find you the sources. And you'll feel bad. Okay? That's the thing. Because we're not aware. So that's part of the problem. Okay? I want to move on to the next topic. A very famous idea that the Rav developed, and this is the second sheet where it says repentance and confession. So I want to begin. This is going to be more in the sources. And if you take a look at the first two sources, the Rambam, generally speaking, the Rambam has an introduction to his halachot. And he tells you what I'm about to do. That's the beauty of the Rambam, so organized. So take a look at the first thing. This is the Hakdama to Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam says like this, Mitzvas aseh achas. There is one positive commandment I'm going to be discussing in the laws of Tshuva. Vuhu, sheyashuv hachote mecheto lifnei Hashem, that the sinner shall repent from his sin before God, the yisvadeh, and will confess. Ubiru mitzvah zu, the explanation of this mitzvah, the ikarim hanigramima, and some of the general principles that are dragged along with it, biglala, for its sake, biprakim elu, can be found in these prakim. That's his introduction. So everybody here would know, if I asked you what mitzvah is the Rambam going to discuss here, it's called Hilchos Tshuva, the koteret, this introduction, the title is the laws of Tshuva, it's the mitzvah of Tshuva. That's what it says. Right? Mitzvas aseh achas v'hu sheyoshuv hachotei mechatof ne'ashem. Okay. Now look at the next Rambam. Kol, and we read this, but now we're going to focus on a different part. The beginning. Kol mitzvah shabbatorah, mitzvah shabbatorah, bein aseh bein lo saseh, positive or negative commandments, im avar adam al achas mehen, a person violates them, bein bizadon, whether done on purpose, bein bishkaga, whether inadvertently, kisheyaseh tshuva, when he decides to do tshuva, when he does tshuva, v'yashuv mechetol, and he returns from his sin, chayav lehisvados v'fnei hakel baruchu, he has an obligation to confess in front of Hashem. Shneamar quotes a pasuk, as we mentioned earlier, isho isho ki asu, if we do one of the chatos of Hashem, v'hisvadu es chatasam asher asu, ze vidu dvarim. And then it goes on, vidui zeh, mitzvah saseh, how do we do vidui? He explains. Okay, what's the problem? What's the mitzvah? What's the mitzvah in the second source? The mitzvah is vidui. The mitzvah is vidui. Where in the second source does it say that there's an obligation or there is a mitzvah called tshuva? The answer is nowhere. Nowhere in the second source does it say that. All it says is, kisheyase tshuva, when a person does tshuva, he decides to repent, so then he's chayav lehisvados, he's obligated to do vidui. And then it says, fascinating, vidui zeh mitzvah saseh, this is a mitzvah saseh. And you look in the introduction, that was just the opposite. Mitzvah saseh achas, and what is that? Shvehu sheyoshuv achotei. Part of that mitzvah saseh is the mitzvah of tshuva. So this is a question that bothered all of the Nosei Kalim, all of the commentaries on the Rambam.
So says v'yisvadah.
That's correct. But I'm not arguing that vidui is a mitzvah as well. I'm pointing out that according to the Rambam, tshuva seems to be a mitzvah also in the good question. Right. Is it a separate mitzvah?
You have to have complete tshuva.
Vidui is going to allow me to complete the tshuva.
Right.
But in the second source, nowhere does it say that a person is chayav to do tshuva. It says on the second line,
right,
chayav lehisvados. Why wouldn't it say chayav sheyaseh tshuva? You have every day, you say harotzeh b'tshuva, once a year on Yom Kippur. Nowhere does it say that there's a chiyuv, but there's a very good point, we're going to get back to that. Excellent.
Okay.
Take a look at the next source. It's rather lengthy, but it's worthwhile to go through. This is one of the famous commentaries on the Rambam, the Avodas HaMelech. So here we go. He's going to raise the question, and he's going to give us one approach, some guidance in understanding the Rambam. The hine signon lashon rabenu, the style, the language of the Rambam. Kol mitzvah shabbatorah v'chule, etc. Kisheyase tshuva. When not do tshuva, but when you decide to do tshuva. V'yashuv mecheto, chayav lesvados. V'lo hizkir rabenu klal ikor chiyuv hatshuva. He didn't mention at all the obligation to repent. Skip after the parentheses. Ki im chiyuv havidui. Kisheose tshuva. Rather, he spoke about the obligation to confess when I choose to do tshuva. The ikur chiyuv hatshuva. Hare mefurashu because of. But the Chumash speaks about tshuva. How could the Rambam not tell me there's an obligation to tshuva? The pasuk says v'hashevosa el levavecha. Or v'shavta ad Hashem elokecha. Parshas Nitzavim. Va'ayen lo haramban zal, mashe piresh, the Ramban explanation in the Torah is, ki ha-mitzvah hazos, you may know from Parshas Nitzavim, ha-mitzvah hazos lo nifleis hi mimcha v'lo rechoka hi, it's not so far, it's very low bashamayim hi. So what mitzvah is that? So two opinions. Either it's speaking about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, or it's speaking about the mitzvah of tshuva. The Ramban says it's very clear, b'shavdat Hashem Elokecha, it's speaking about the mitzvah of tshuva, and it's very close to you. It's not so far away. It's b'ficha uvilavavcha la'aso so. It's in your mouth and your heart to be able to perform. And the Ramban says that. Ki ha-mitzvah hazos, the beginning of that line, or the fifth line down, hi mitzvah sase shel tshuva. That is the obligation. Okay. So now, what I want you to do, so you'll understand what he's referring to. So if you take a look, take a look at the source right before this. This is the Rambam in the seventh perek of Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam says like this, Kol ha-nevi'im kulon sivu ala tshuva. All the Nevi'im commanded us about the importance of tshuva. The Ein Yisrael Negalim b'tshuva. Collectively, we cannot be redeemed unless we repent. As a people. Ukvar hivticha Torah shesof Yisrael asos tshuva. The Torah has promised that the Jewish people eventually will do tshuva. And with that, we will merit the coming of Mashiach. B'sof galusan. And when we do that, the end of our exile, umiyad hei negalim. We will be redeemed immediately. Shenamar, v'haya ki avou alecha kal devarim v'gomer, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. What is the Rambam doing with that pasuk? The Rambam says, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, that's a mitzvah sasei of tshuva. How would the Rambam, assuming the Rambam in the second halacha, not in the title, is correct, that the mitzvah we speak of is vidui, the hisvadu. Tshuva is not a mitzvah, whatever it is, we don't know what it is yet. It's not a mitzvah. How does the Rambam understand the pasuk, a pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim, v'shavta Hashem Elokecha? So the answer is, that's a promise. That's what's going to happen. That's not a personal mitzvah upon me. That's what we're going to do to merit Mashiach. That's what the Avodas HaMelech says. Take a look. I'm now five lines down, smack in the middle of the line. Ve'ayin, vav ayin yud. Ve'ayin l'rabbeinu l'kamon later on in the Perek Zayim, which is what we just read. Dikra the pasuk divishavta, hu havtacha v'lo mitzvah. That's a promise. That's not a mitzvah. Don't be nervous about that pasuk. You don't have to be bothered by that. V'kvar amdu al zeh ha-mechabrim. Many authors have been bothered by this Rambam. How to explain it. V'ayin minchas chinuch mitzvah shin samach dalet herich tuva lomar. The minchas chinuch has a completely different understanding of tshuva and vidui, the topic of our cheer, repentance, and confession. Dahavu beis mitzvos nifrados. The minchas chinuch says, this is not necessarily the opinion of the Rambam, but the minchas chinuch, it's two separate mitzvos. Echad mitzvah satshuva. V'hi mikra, that's derived from the pasuk divishavta. V'ein havidui b'peh me'akev ha-kapara klal. And in fact, confession is not going to prevent you, is not an indispensable factor in you receiving atonement. You can do tshuva. That means I'm going to do better, I make certain kabbalot upon myself, but I don't actually confess to my averos. The Minchas Chinuch claims I can fulfill the mitzvah, that separate mitzvah of tshuva. They're two separate mitzvahs. They're not dependent one on the other. I can do tshuva without vidui. That's what he claims. V'raya mikidushin, and he quotes a gemara, a person says, I'll marry you on the condition that I'm a tzaddik. So what do you mean? But the guy's a Russian. The guy's a thief. So Hareyam the Kudesh Sleepit Tabatsu Kudas Moshe Yisrael Amana Shani Tzadik. But we know he's a thief. So the halacha is that he's married. In front of two ways, they're married. Why are they married? So the Gemara says Dilma hear her tshuva beliba. Because maybe he was Mahari thought about doing tshuva in his mind, in his heart. But he never said anything. He under the chuppah. Right? Right? The chassid, he only said one phrase. Haram and credentially. He didn't say, Avisi Pashati Chatasi, etc. He didn't say that. So he's a Rasha. So how can you say, Amanat Amanat Tzadik? They can't be married because that's clearly not, that Tanai, that condition is not correct. So the answer is no. Maybe he was thinking tshuva. Thinking tshuva. How is that possible? So the Minchas Chinuch says, what do you see from there? I can fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva how? Even belief, even in my heart and my mind. Hare dizeh sagi. That's sufficient. Ulam yesh od mitzvah tuluyah bevidui peh. There's another mitzvah, says the Minchas Chinuch, which is the confession. The mitzvah saseh bifnei atzma. Ayin sham b'chol ha'arichut. He goes on and explains that. So, we have not explained the Rambam. We've explained another opinion. We've explained the opinion of a Minchas Chinuch who claims there's a mitzvah vidui and a mitzvah of tshuva, and they're not necessarily dependent one on the other. And I can fulfill tshuva without vidui. But how do you explain the Rambam? So take a look at the next paragraph, the way the Avodas HaMelech understands the Rambam. Abol divrei rabbeinu mevu'arinu bururin. They're very clear, he says. Dihinei be'emes tzarech lahavin. You have to understand shechidsha Torah din hatshuva. The Torah is mechadesh. The Torah, it's a novelty. The fact that I can repent. Ve'ilmalei kasva Torah din hatshuva. Had the Torah not written the concept of the mitzvah of tshuva, Hare ha'yisi omer, I would have thought, she'ein srichim la'azov ha'chet u'l'scharet olav v'chi'ef shalomar kein. Is it possible to say that a person would not have to leave, have remorse, and remove himself from the chet? The reading is a little bit difficult. She'ish ha'over al isurim shabbat Torah. Someone's violating the chumash, the Torah. You're going to have to tell me shlo ya'azov cheto, that he doesn't have to leave his sin. Kiim ya'avur odal is. He should. Kim, you doing that? You're doing this today. What should I do now? I guess I'll do it again. Because the Torah never said any mitzvah of tshuva. So I guess I have to. If the Torah never doesn't write about tshuva, I guess that means if I do this about it once, I may as well do it more times. Would anyone in their right mind think such a thing? V'chein hacharata, so too remorse. Shigamkin yisodei hatshuva. Charata, having remorse, that's one of the very principles, one of the foundations of tshuva. U'kumar shekasav rabbeinu v'chein kol rishonim zichonim levracha, I've written about this. Halo ein zeh din shahalo kimuvan im adam over ali surin. Turn the page. U'makicheto. It's so obvious to us. It's understood that a person who realizes he does wrong and he recognizes sin, ve'eino kofer chalil b'ashem yisbach, and he's not a kofer, he's not one who denies God, he's a believer. So if that's the case, b'ashem yisbarach, b'vada yischaret al asheras, of course you feel bad, you do something wrong. Of course you want to try to do better. What kind of person are we talking about here? Ki hishchis es nafsho, he destroyed his nefesh, v'ano she'ani, should be punished. What is Avodas HaMelech saying? You know why the Rambam doesn't write this as a mitzvah? Of course, tshuva is a mitzvah. I don't need the Torah to explicitly tell me that tshuva is a mitzvah. Do this mitzvah. You took a lulav, and you sat in the sukkah, and you put on your tefillin, and you listened to the shofar, and you're going to do tshuva too. So let's say Yom Kippur, like, check everything, what I have to do. Okay, I got my dalet minim, we got the sukkah up, we got the food is cooked, I have the wine for kiddush, and I've got tshuva. Okay, it's on the list. Okay, did you buy tshuva in the street? You buy it in this farm store, right? Right, cheap. Right? Before Yom Kippur, you get tshuva for like $350. So, what does that mean? I don't need the Torah to tell me there's a mitzvah called tshuva. Anyone in their right mind who realizes there's a creator of the world and there are averos and mitzvahs in the Torah, of course there's a mitzvah of tshuva. Of course there's a mitzvah. You have to call it a mitzvah. In the introduction, this is the mitzvah of tshuva. And there's an obligation to confess, an obligation to repent. But the Rambam says, the Rambam is an optimist. The Rambam says, when we choose to do tshuva, of course a Jew is going to choose to do tshuva. Of course you're going to do that. When you do that, you're supposed to confess, because confession is an obligation. Tshuva, of course, is an obligation. How could you have a Torah without tshuva? Interestingly, there's a completely different approach, which is that tshuva actually is a novelty. Tshuva is a novelty. Think about it for a second. A person does something wrong. I rebel against my Creator. I know this is absolutely wrong. He lets me walk and breathe and whatever I need to, just every single day, every breath that I take, I owe to Him. And I, because I wanted to speak this Lashon Hara, I said the Lashon Hara. Because I wanted to do this, whatever. So I said, I'm not doing this. I said, I don't really care. That's an affront to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why should He allow you to do tshuva? What kind of crazy concept is that? So it's interesting that you don't have to take the approach of the Avodas HaMelech. Tshuva could be the greatest chiddush of all. How is it possible? How is it possible that I'm allowed to do tshuva? But the truth is, I think they're both correct. We're human beings. We can't live without the possibility of tshuva. Really, that's endemic to the human condition. Is that we have to be able to do tshuva. We can't live otherwise. We need that opportunity. Hashem can create. Chazal teaches tshuva preceded the creation of the world. We can't function without that ability. Daily, or at least once a year. But at the same time, it's a chiddush. Why is it important to know that's a novelty? So I know it's a gift. So I realize that tshuva is not something I should be afraid of. Not something I'm running away from, something that I embrace, something that I am thankful for, something I acknowledge what a gift tshuva is. And the importance of recognizing that Hashem wants us to confess, recognize these things we do wrong. We know we do this all the time. We justify our actions. If we made a mistake at work, let's say, and the boss says something. So it's easier to say, well, I'll tell you what happened. It really wasn't my fault. How often are we willing to say, I'm completely wrong, you are absolutely right? We don't want to do that. Because we want to protect ourselves. That's normal. It's human nature to protect ourselves. To protect our ego. To protect ourselves, very often it may be in a marriage, certainly in a parnasa situation, we're going to protect ourselves. But Hashem doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be intellectually honest. That's the tshuva He speaks of. So tshuva on the one hand is kisheyase tshuva, when of course you choose to do tshuva. You do it through vidu. But tshuva is a gift. Tshuva is a chiddush. Wow, how could it be that I offended the Ribbono Shel Olam and yet at the same time He lets me return to Him? He's waiting for us. Yirshu Hashem b'himatza'o. This is the month. Seek Him out when He is available. He's waiting for us. So that's the way Avodas HaMelech understands. However, the Rav took a completely different approach to this Rambam. And he explains as follows. Very often when we look at the Rambam, we have to understand the classification of the Rambam, how the Rambam organizes himself. This is a great example. We know we divide, we always say, I always like when we say, mitzvos can be divided into, it all depends on what you want to say, right? So, well, I want to say that, well, mitzvah is divided into two, into three. The Rambam says mitzvah is divided into 14. 14, the Rambam's famous, he loves the number 14. So Rambam writes in Moreh Nevuchim, there are 14 different categories of mitzvahs, because that works for him. So what works for us tonight is mitzvahs, asay, positive commandments, can be divided into two categories. Two categories. So you have mitzvahs, and we're familiar with these very well. We're familiar with both categories, but we never think about dividing them in this such a way. One where the fulfillment and the performance, I should probably change the order, the performance and the fulfillment of the mitzvah happen simultaneously. The performance, the action, and the fulfillment of the mitzvah happen simultaneously. So take, for example, the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. So it's through, this is not through an action, through an utterance. I say, Hayom Yom Echad Ba'Omer. So now, what was the action? The action was saying that phrase. When did I fulfill the mitzvah? When I said that phrase. The phrase, the mitzvah was to count the omer. That's what I did. I think of the lulav and esrog. Ulekachtem lachem bayom arishon pri etzadar kafos tamar banafes of avri nachal. Here, usmachte, I picked them up. So that's the action is to pick them up. When can I say I fulfilled the mitzvah? How do I fulfill a mitzvah? Through the action. Not so much time when I fulfill the mitzvah, but it's through the action that I fulfill the mitzvah. That's what it seems all mitzvahs are like that. I read the Megillah. So you read the Megillah, you hear the words of the Megillah as I'm reading it. I'm fulfilling the mitzvah. The action and the performance and the fulfillment of the mitzvah happen at the same time. The pu'ula and the kiyum. Take, for example, a mitzvah like Kriya Shema. So that also, we would say, well, the performance of the mitzvah is the reading of the mitzvah, and the fulfillment of the mitzvah are fulfilling at the same time. But if we think about it, it's not so much a time issue. What did I have to have in mind when I took the lulav? So the answer is nothing really. Nothing really. What did I have to have in mind when I said Sfiras Omer? I don't know, counting. I guess, right? When I say the words of Shema, do we think we fulfill the mitzvah adequately, properly, if we just say the words from beginning to end? Absolutely not. What is essential to fulfill the mitzvah of Shema? That is what we call Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. If I don't pause, and the Shulchan Aruch says this, after you finish the words Hashem Echad, we pause. Shema should take longer. Should take longer. When I say that phrase, the Shulchan Aruch tells me what I'm supposed to be thinking. Shema Yisrael, listen, people, Jewish people, could be the people sitting around you, if you're down there by yourself, it's, could be anybody. Hashem, who is, after last year's tefillah, you should be knowing what those two Hashem means. Yudke Vavke, Hayom Veviyev Adon Hakol. Hashem was, is, and will be in the master of the world. Hashem Shehu Elokeinu, who is all-powerful, almighty. Bala kochot kulam. Hashem, Echad, that same God will be Echad forever. Hashem, who's our God, will eventually Echad for the entire world. That's what's going to happen in the future. So, then I pause. And I think to myself, Hashem Echad. I accept upon myself the yoke of heaven. What does that mean? It means that I am a servant. I'm an Eved Hashem. What Hashem asks me to do is what I'm here to do. If I don't think that, I have not fulfilled the mitzvah properly. I read the Siddur, I stand up for Shmona, Hashem is Mosai Tiftach, I read, I can do the Shmona Esrei in 2.5 minutes. I just read the words. Did I fulfill the mitzvah of Tefillah? No. Tefillah is Avodah Shebelev. Avelus. Sat on the low chair, didn't shower, in a hot shower at least, I have to make sure we cover everyone's opinion, made sure that didn't do work, right, for the week. I think I did it just fine. Didn't think for one moment what I was doing. Do you think a person fulfills avelus if there's no sense of bereavement? That's avelus. Avelus is about sitting on a low chair. Tisha B'Av. Did we fulfill what Tisha B'Av expects of us by sitting on a low chair till Chatzos and saying some of the kinos not knowing what we were saying? That's not Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a sense of loss. There's a mitzvah in the heart. So there are mitzvos where the action and the fulfillment are the same. Not only simultaneously, but they are one and the same. This is what Hashem wants me to do. And that will be how I will fulfill his mandate. And then he's going to say, then there are mitzvos, this is what I want you to do. But this is what I'm going to be thinking about. This is what I want you to feel. Yes?
So then, what you're saying is, so when I take a little of that joke, I don't have to have any thought.
No.
I figure out, say, the bracha, for example.
That's correct. So you're thinking about something else where there's a machlokas, whether mitzvos tzrichos kavan or mitzvos ain tzrichos kavan. That's something else. What that says is that before I do a mitzvah, I have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav. I have a mind to fulfill the mitzvah. That's something I'm supposed to have, right? I have kavod, right? So that's something else. That's a machlokas. Do raisa maybe yes, drava maybe. You know, we have different opinions. Which mitzvos? Yes, no. With the mitzvos that you speak versus mitzvos that you right that I'm doing with that action. What? Okay, you have that as well. That mitzvah to rabbanan, but there also that may be a fulfillment of cheres, and there may be others in this category. It could be the mitzvah kiddush on Friday night is that way. That if I just say the words that I declare a Shabbos and I don't think about Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, then I don't fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush properly. There are maybe many mitzvahs that fall into this category. Where the Kiyuma mitzvah is something in belief. So Rav Soloveitchik said that's what the Rambam has in mind here. The mitzvah of tshuva is something in the heart and something in the mind. The tshuva can be initiated, can be fulfilled through the vidui. It's through the vidui that I'm able to have tshuva gemura. But there's something that has to precede that. The kabbalos olmaksh, I can't stand up to tefillah unless I realize dalef nemiata omeid. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was famous for saying in the first, actually the first comment of the Reb Chaim on the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, is where he writes that a person, even if you hold mitzvos, don't need kavana. The kavana for Shmona Esrei is very different. I should probably understand the words, what we call perush hamilim or perush hamilot, which is really incorrect, but milot is just another way that people say it. I have to be aware that I am omeid lefnei hamelech. Before I stand up to Shmona Esrei, I have to recognize who I'm standing, in front of whom I am standing. That's an absolute requirement of kavana. Or else I'm not going to fulfill prayer. That's not prayer. So the same thing is here as well. There needs to be a sense of introspection that we have. Preparation for these types of mitzvahs. How could we fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva without the introspection, without the preparation? It can't be going like this. And this is my message just to end tonight. The siddur is over, the machzor is overwhelming. And a person can go through the entire Yom Kippur and not fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva. I would argue that most Orthodox Jews who daven using an art scroll machzor do not fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva, which is the ikar of Yom Kippur. You could daven for 10 hours, but in 5 minutes you can fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva. 5 minutes. You have a list in the Aleph Beis, all the Arshamnu Baganu, after that also, all the Al-Chetz are in Aleph Beis form. What about the things that we did wrong? Not what the Machzor thinks I did wrong. How about those things? On my Yom Kippur, this is after, this is during, is before Lokai Netzor, you finish Shmona Esrei, it's over. You said Bashalom, you say Lirosim Mefigam, I can say whatever I want now. Any aveir that some people make a list. I don't know my list from year to year. I try to get the Aleph Beis right. I have right. Let's say, for example, when I say the first in Achalnu or whatever you go Shamnu, the first of the I forget the first of the Alephs in the Alchets, whatever it is. Okay, so I think about Achalti below Bracha. I think about I didn't answer Amen, or I answer, there are three types of Amens people answer. Amen Yisoma, where we answer an Amen and we didn't hear the bracha. Or I didn't think, how many times do you answer Amen in Shul, and I didn't think what that bracha meant. Think about that. You say Amen to Kaddish. When we say Amen, Amen, I'm a robot. Amen, I can't say Amen, unless I know what I just answered. Yiskadal v'yiskadash merba. What does that mean? Hashem's name should make, in the days of Mashiach, the entire world will recognize him. Amen, that's true. But I only answer Amen. I can only answer, if not, it's called an orphaned Amen. The Gemara has very scary things to say about an orphaned Amen. There's an Amen Ketufa, where I say Amen, I say it really quickly. Or Amen Chatufa, different explanations of what this is. I forget, some say Ketufa means I swallow the Nun. Amen. Or I say Amen, I don't say Amen properly. Or I don't say Amen at all. That's just the Aleph. Bet. You get to bet. Bracha levatala. Right? I ate right. Well, I ate without a bracha. Achalti below bracha. How many times do I eat without a bracha? Or when I said a bracha without kavanah, I wasn't even thinking about what I was saying. We could stand there all day. Those are the same things we do wrong. But they may not be in the machzor. That's true. And then I thought, I must have done that 100 times. Wow, how could I do that 100 times? This is the Ribono Shel Olam. This is his food. The food is stolen until I recite a bracha. I'm not permitted to eat. The Gemara says the food is stolen. Hashamayim shamayim l'Hashem v'aras nizanu v'nei adam. So was it? Is the aretz ours? It says l'Hashem aretz m'lova. Everything belongs to Hashem. So what is? The Gemara says kam kodem bracha. Before a bracha, it's l'Hashem aretz m'lova. Kam achar bracha. After you make a bracha, so then it becomes yours. So I'm stealing. And how many times do we steal? We don't even really recognize it. So, and then comes all the things that we do with speech. It's overwhelming. Whatever comes to mind, that's what we say. And then there'll be charata. Then I can do vidui. Then I can go through the tshuva process. Then I can possibly feel bad and have some type of kabbalah al ha'asid, recognizing that the more Torah study that I do, the more I'll recognize what I'm doing wrong, and the better I can be. Because I'll know what I need to do. And the more we get into that practice, into that habit, the more we can fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem. We'll stop here. We'll continue next week.